Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hello, welcome to New Life Live. This is not Steve Arterburn, this is Larry Sonnenberg, because Steve is feeling under the weather today. So I'm here with Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, Dave.
How are you doing, Larry?
Good to see you. And Milan Yurkovic. Hi, Milan.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
I'm always glad when the three of us can do radio together.
Yeah, this is good.
Even though there's a tremendous amount of sadness going on.
There is. And I want to address that briefly and ask you guys to address it as well. But I want to explain something first. We're doing this program. We're recording this, and it's Monday, October 2nd, and it's the day after those shootings last night. But this program is not airing live because we're in what they call a satellite outage. It's just not possible for us to air a live program for about 2 weeks because of the way the sun and the moon and the earth and the shadows and all that stuff line up. It interrupts the satellite signal.
So the eclipse of the satellites.
Yeah, we're just sorry we couldn't do this live yesterday. And we're going to be here two more hours. So you can call in for 3 hours today, this hour and two more. Okay, so horrible thing that happened. What do you say to somebody that asks you how, why, or where was God in this? That those are the questions that come up. How do you respond?
Well, I would say that I think, first of all, what happened in Las Vegas, the number of people that were killed, the number of people that were wounded, the panic, the post-traumatic distress, all of them, they were literally thrust into a war zone with no way of understanding what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and it was had to be a pure panic situation. My heart goes out to the victims' families. It's a horrible situation. We have an enemy in this world.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Satan, and he, even our president said this was pure evil. And evil is something we reserve for, things that are horribly anti-God, the opposite of holiness. And I'm just taken back by it. God hasn't moved. I happen to believe that God says that the world is in a declining state, not an improving state. That's my personal position on that. And right now, when I read the newspapers, it doesn't disagree with me. So I say, well, then the only way it's ever going to be corrected is when Christ returns.
Amen.
I don't care what your theological beliefs are. The return of Christ is going to rectify and correct everything. Until then, we just hang on and hold on to one another and try to survive.
You're right on in that this is a sinful world and these things happen. And where is God? Well, God kind of hands off in terms of controlling things. I think his involvement comes now after the fact in terms of the healing.
Well put.
And the support and the whole comfort thing. Think of 2 Corinthians 1:3, where you were to comfort others with the comfort with which he has comforted us. And so he is in the comforting role, he is in the healing role, but he's not the big traffic cop in the sky who stops bad things from happening, because bad things happen to good people.
That's right.
Because we're in a sinful world.
That's right.
I talked to a donor this morning, called to talk for a minute, and he said, it just shows there's always an opportunity there's always more and more opportunity for ministry and for believers to really be set an example in the whole process. And I think he was right. I mean, that's not why it happens, but that's what our response needs to be. So we're going to take calls, and we're going to continue talking about this a little, and we're going to come back right after the break. But 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and Mylon Yurkovic and Dave Stoop sitting here with me. And we were talking a little bit about Las Vegas, and I think I'd like to just go to a caller who on the call screen wants to talk about that as well. And so let's go and talk to Buddy, and he listens on Wave in Washington, D.C. Hello, Buddy.
Hello, gentlemen. God bless y'all real good. Greetings from Washington, D.C.
Thank you. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm a retired United States Marine. I've flown Marine One for every president since and including Gerald Ford, including the current president, but I retired last week. And I'm a Washingtonian. I've been here a long time. My question for you guys is, why does God allow things like Las Vegas to happen in this beautiful country of ours?
Well, we kind of said something in the opening, but let me expand on it. One of the ways of understanding from a historical point of view the book of Revelation is that he... In what John was experiencing was the decline of culture, because it's not our home. It's not where we are meant to settle in. And Satan has control to some degree. God has allowed him to have some control, and these things are satanic in terms of what happens. God doesn't stop them, because it's a sinful world. He would be busy stopping all kinds of things if that were the case. But as I said earlier, he's in the resolution. He's in the healing. He's in the comforting, because that's where we find our real home is locked into the person of Christ. And it's going to be this way until Christ returns, as Mylon said earlier too.
You know, if we didn't...
Well, you know, the Bible says that we are to be in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
I've been here 62 years. I was in D.C. when they shot John Kennedy. They talk about the military genius of this rocket scientist that carried out this attack. It's no more complex than what they did to Kennedy. It's no more difficult to shoot the president. And I give you my belief on that. If America doesn't clean up his act, or act soon, God might have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's not a bad thought. I mean, that's a bad thought, but that's not that's not far from the reality.
Yeah.
Well, the reality, too, to answer your larger question, Buddy, is God. It clearly, and Peter talks about this, that clearly there is this period where mankind is in control. If you look at the book of Daniel, the large picture is there will be periods of mankind's control. The Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire prior to the Medo-Persian. There would be a period of mankind's control. There would be a subsequent decline of that holiness and righteousness in the world. But Peter says that God is not slow concerning the promise of his coming, but he is wishing and willing that all would come to a place of repentance. And so he is redeeming a bunch of people, Christians, out of this world before he returns. And when his, I believe, when his final count is done, his final count of the redemption of people, the number of people he wants to see saved, and the number of people that respond to his offer of eternal life, that then God will correct this. But clearly the Bible teaches that, the as Dave has said, the enemy is highly involved in the world, and so is mankind, and mankind cannot do a great job of trying to run and manage. But God is, like Dave said earlier, and sovereignly, he is also in control of the ultimate timetable.
You know, a couple other things come to my mind. One is God gave us free will, free choice, and we can choose to follow him or not. And if we didn't have the choice to say no to God, our yes wouldn't mean anything. And so it's we have to live with the fact that it is a fallen world. People are going to choose to not follow God mm-hmm. in his ways. And out of that comes stuff like this.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I've been studying some of the history of Greece, and for about 400 years, they were under the occupation of the Ottoman Empire. Mm-hmm. And they were brutal. They were ruthless. They would come into Greece and destroy and kill everybody in a village and just totally decimate a village. And that happened numerous times. And a lot of the reason that the monasteries are there in the really secluded places is that the Ottomans wouldn't go after that. They would go after the easy targets. But mm-hmm. when you destroy a whole, you know, 5,000 people in one blow, it shows you the sinfulness of mankind and the rule of Satan in the world, and that's always been the case, and we await the redemption of that. Even the rocks groan waiting for it.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. There's been so many atrocities on this planet, but I think we could all agree that in the last period of time, the last, at least in my lifetime, the increase of this type of horrible atrocity taking place on a personal basis, driven by many motives and reasons and religious beliefs, whether it's the Oklahoma bombings, you know, in mm-hmm. Oklahoma, or whether it is something like this, they're all just terrible, and mm-hmm. they have taken place for millennia. This kind of behavior has happened,
and it should make us very aware of how sinful the world is.
Yes,
but there is a tendency to want an explanation for it rather than respond to it.
Oh, great point.
In terms of repentance.
I used to tell my kids, they would ask me, why do things like this happen? I said, well, the why is not the right question. The real right question is, what do we do in response to it? Because until kingdom come, we'll probably never know why this guy did what he did.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, there was a quote by C.S. Lewis I read this morning. It was on our New Life devotional. It says, the fall is simply and solely disobedience, doing what you have been told not to do. And it results from pride, from being too big for your boots, forgetting your place, thinking that you are God.
Hmm.
I think that was a pretty good quote. So, well, buddy, I want to thank you for your call. We're going to...
I think that's one of the most common questions we get on this show, Larry.
The why?
Yeah. Where's God?
Yeah.
In these tragedies. And God is sitting
God's in the midst of them.
He absolutely is.
And he's also waiting. I don't know how he waits with the patience that he exemplifies.
Very
I don't
point.
Know how he waits. And he is, as this world moves by decade, I don't know how he's as patient as he is. But, Dave, you spoke about the book of Revelation and the rage and the wrath of God ultimately someday to come against sin is going to be powerful. And one day God's going to uncork on all this wrongness, and that is precisely – so he doesn't forget. Where is God in Las Vegas? He's counting, and he's not forgetting a thing.
That's a good point. He also it just left me. I hate it to get these.
Well, if you're like Kay, if I start talking, you'll remember.
Yeah. I had a really good point
I know,
to make.
And that happens to Kay. So I start talking, and she goes, oh, I remember now. And but Dave, you know, aren't you impressed with the patience and long-suffering of God?
Oh, yeah. Well, that and his unfailing love.
Those two things.
Those are the things you hang on to in a situation like this.
Absolutely.
Well, and we need to be looking for where God is in this, and just remembering that when you make these stupid decisions and do things you shouldn't do, or if something bad happens to you, it doesn't mean God has withdrawn his love from you. It doesn't mean he's not there with you. He's there.
Well, I think of James 1, too, you know, count it all joy when bad things happen.
Yeah.
Not because the bad things are going to be somehow made good, but because God is at work in wanting us to learn something and grow and to also come to repentance, which is a key part of the whole thing.
So was that the thing you were going to remember?
That was the thing.
See, so it was true. Yeah. See, it happens with you. What happened?
Magical. Oh,
yeah.
I remember that happening at the workshop.
Remember me doing that with Kay?
Yeah, I do. So thank you. You saved me.
All right. Well, I don't mean to be laughing during this topic, but that was just a humorous little point.
It is a challenging situation, to say the least. Okay. Well, let's...
maybe... could we just for a moment pray for those people?
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Why don't you lead us in that?
So, Lord, we sit here with our mouths. We're in a state of shock at the tremendous loss that has occurred here. Families, people, fun-loving people, just the salt of the earth people, loving the music of our world, the country world and the country music, and it's about love and it's about struggles and it's about real life, and it's just a genuine group of people. And then for that to happen, Lord, it's just such a tragedy. Our heart goes out to everybody that is in this, affected by this, which is untold thousands of people. And then the rest of us that are sitting in the distance in shock, and perhaps many who feel tremendous fear as they go out of their houses. We just pray for each one of these people and ask your grace upon the police force, our government. Dave, would you pray?
And we pray, Lord, that you would comfort those who have been wounded emotionally as well as physically, that you will work your will in terms of eternal values in the midst of this, and that we won't ask why, but we will look to you for the comfort and the sustaining presence of your power, your Holy Spirit, in the lives of all of us, but especially in the lives of those who were there that fateful evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to just remembered, we have a CD called Trauma and Tragedy, I think is the title of it. And we're going to put that up on our website. If it's not there right now, well, it should be up here now because it's Tuesday when you're listening to this. And it's for people that are affected by this. And the other thing that I wanted to point out is we're there at New Life. Call us if you need help for whatever. It might not be this trauma or tragedy. You might have another trauma or tragedy in your life that's closer to home, more personal, and not this big national thing. But at New Life, that's what we're there for. If you need help, you need hope, you need encouragement, you need to figure out what to do next in life, call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 639-5433. It's important that we hear from you. We exist because we want you to find a different and a better way of living life. A couple of things, then we're going to go. We're going to talk to Jason Paber in just a couple minutes. We'll be breaking here pretty soon. And Jason is the producer of The Heart of Man. And we'll come back to him right after the break. And here they're going to do an encore presentation of that movie. And we'll talk a little bit about that. I would also just like to encourage folks to remember to support New Life financially. There's always the need. We always need, it seems like, more than what we're getting. And that's only because there's more things like what's going on in Las Vegas that happen that stretch resources, stretch time. in Houston. I met a couple of counselors at our last workshop that were from Houston, and one of our supporters I talked on the phone. We're going to send close to 200 CDs of that trauma and tragedy out to these folks so that they can take them and give them to people who help. And so there's just more need than there is resources sometime. But we know the resources are there. God is faithful. He is faithful. That's why one of my favorite verses in Scripture is, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of God never fails. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that came from Jeremiah, who had just walked the streets of Jerusalem after Babylon had taken it and it had fallen. And it was horrible what he was walking through. It was akin in those times to walking through Las Vegas this morning. And somebody can stop and say, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. There is a God, he's in heaven, and he's part of responding to everything.
And that was only two or three verses after he said, all hope is gone.
That's right. Very good point.
And then he grabbed a hold of his thoughts and redirected them to the reality of who God was.
We'll be back.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelly Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelly's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in today for Steve Arterburn. He's under the weather, so we're praying for Steve to get well. I explained early on, we're recording this on Monday, October 2nd, and this is when we all woke up to the news of Las Vegas. But it's not being aired until Tuesday because we're not able to do a live radio program via satellite today. But I want to, if you're on the line holding to talk to Dave Stoop and Milan Yurkovich, please hold on. We're going to go and have a little interview here with Jason Paymer, but we'll get to your call, so please hold on a minute. Jason, hello. How are you doing?
Hey, Larry. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, good to have you on. Say, now, Jason... Jason was really the driving force behind the movie The Heart of Man. We promoted that a lot, and we encouraged people to go see it. It aired a couple of weeks ago as a Fathom event around the country, and it aired, had a good enough response that Fathom said, let's do an encore event. And I wanted to just let Jason speak to that for a minute, and then I've got a couple other questions. So, Jason, tell us about the encore.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be with you, Larry. I want your listenership to know that they actually helped by supporting you guys, helped support the film, and then helped, you know, get the encore for the film. You and Steve have been a great support for us, the filmmakers, and then in the content that we've been producing over the last few months. So we're thankful to all you guys. We saw nearly 50,000 people come out for one showtime at one day around the country. And so we'll come back out October 17th. We'll release in the top few hundred theaters that we came out in the first time, with the ability to expand and to actually go wider. The word of mouth on this thing has been really fantastic. We've been inundated with thousands of messages on our socials and our emails. In fact, my email almost got shut down. I couldn't respond to everything that was coming in, and people describe.
Oh, boy. I think we lost.
Sorry, describing the transformation and seeing the face of the Father more clearly for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, women 65 years old, men 18 years old. Everything in between in terms of the response has been really fantastic. So, again, thank you. Thank you and Steve and the New Life community.
You're welcome. How does somebody find out where they can see this, Jason? What are they to do? How do they get a ticket for this?
Yes, yeah, so if you go to fathomevents.com and search the Heart of Man, it'll pull up our page, and you type in your zip code or your city, and it'll pull up the theaters. You'll go to the theater, and then you'll go through the ticketing process that way. So fathomevents.com, search the Heart of Man. It'll pull up October 17th for the encore, and then you can search. And if you don't see a theater there, feel free to email us at heartofman@cypherfilms.com. That's heartofman@cypherfilms.com, S-Y-P-H-E-R, films. We have a form on our website you can fill out as well, and we're trying to show the distributor where the demand is for this and where people want to see it. And if it's not there, we're going to do our best to bring it to you.
Okay, Jason, I have another question. I had some people that went and saw it and said, they called me up and said, how do I get to let my group see this? I've got a men's group at church, and I want to show this to them. How do I get that copy of that, or how can I get them to see it? So what happens next for that?
Yes, so in October, we'll be coming out on DVD.
Oh, that quick. Wow.
And on iTunes as well. And so, you know, our hope is that people come experience it in a group, bring a friend, experience it in the theater, and then, but in the fall, we'll be coming back out in as many different ways as possible. You know, we're looking at doing a church tour in early 2018, and we're talking about doing it maybe with Bethel Music in terms of just bringing a full body experience for worship and the film in one big night.
And the church situation, when you do the church tour, will you be going to churches and presenting it so that the church can then call people together?
Yeah, we'll do a limited, I don't know how many cities yet. We've got some churches that have said they want to bring it, and we've engaged a couple of friends of ours around the country, like, you know, Willow Creek is one, but we're going to do a big men's night at Saddleback down your way.
Good.
And so some of these will be lined up, and then for all the other churches that we don't make it to, you know, physically, we want the film to be able to be there for their marriage groups, their men's, their recovery groups. We actually have a bunch of youth groups coming out, at high schools. So we want to see it engage all of those levels and all those groups of people. And so we'll make it available in a way to bring the film in. And then we have a guide that we've been curating over the last year and a half. And that guide will be able to be used for small group and then individual reflection as well.
Hey, Jason, Milan Yurkovich here. If you were to summarize the film for the people that are not familiar with this film in 30 seconds, how would you summarize it, Jason?
I think it's a tender invitation to understand better the face of the Father for us in the midst of our cave moments, in our darkest places, whether that finds us in addiction, sexual addiction, or any vice. I think it sort of wipes clear this religious caricature of God the Father.
Yeah, it does it really well.
The real good Father. Where is he in proximity to giving in, or I'm relapsing into whatever particular behavior? Is he outside of the room waiting for me to figure it out? Or is he next to me inviting me into a better yes?
Wow.
Something much more real and textured. So I think he challenges some religious ideologies that we've come to the table with.
Mm-hmm.
And those that have that worldview, education into who he really is.
So,
okay, what that better yes looks like.
So October 17th, if you saw it before and want to see it again or take some friends, or if you did, missed it last time, don't miss it this time. It's a Fathom event. Go to fathom.com, look at Heart of Man, click on there, and it'll show you what the theaters are. Jason, thank you for being with us, and we'll be right back to take your calls.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. New Life Live here, and we're going to go straight to the phones, and we're going to talk to Brooke. Listens in Mobile, Alabama on Sirius XM. Hello, Brooke. How can we help you today?
Hey. Okay, question. Maybe I'll start that first. How do I handle relationship with the mother of my granddaughter, who I now have custody of, at least temporary custody? I've had her since June, and I have to allow her to see her, according to the court order, but we do not get along. So how I handle that relationship and keep
so this is not your daughter, this is must be your
no.
Your son was the father?
Yeah, this is her daughter-in-law.
Yeah, okay.
No, not even daughter-in-law.
No, they're not married.
She didn't quite make it that far.
Got it.
Yeah.
So hence the words mother of my granddaughter.
Yeah.
Well, how Brooke, how does she get visitation? Is it supervised? Is it
Yes, supervised only. She's not allowed to be alone with her.
Okay. Well, so, you have to follow the court order, and the fact that it's supervised.
Yeah, I do that. That's not the problem. My problem is the lack of respect for me and my home, and I guess my best example would be this past weekend. She was supposed to be at my house and meet up with the babysitter that had my granddaughter and take over. And she never showed up. She never called. She never sent anybody a message. She left everybody hanging. It's just the lack of I don't care.
Irresponsibility.
Very much so. And we have a court date coming up in December where the court will make the decision as to whether or not to allow my granddaughter to go back to her. I got her because of her mom's drinking problem. Mom ended up in jail. Baby ended up at the hospital, and they called me. So I'm at a loss because I know the environment that she lives in, and I don't know what to do. People tell me I need to treat it like a divorce and be honest. But at the same time, like I said, I'm stuck in the middle because I have to allow her to see her, and then she gets mad at me.
Yeah.
And treats my home and the people around in my home and whatnot with disrespect, and is very ugly and doesn't listen to anything that I request for my home, and it just, I'm so stuck.
It's a very frustrating situation. How old is your granddaughter?
Not quite two.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think Brooke, where is your son in all this? He's the father of the baby.
He unfortunately he tried to get custody, but...
But where is he, though, in terms of the...
He's out of state.
Why is he not...
He lives out of state.
Okay, but I'm asking, why is he not more involved in your granddaughter's life? Why is he not the primary custody person?
He lives out of state, and we live in Alabama. Once the court system got involved, they wouldn't let him take her.
I see. Well,
she has to stay in the state until they make a final determination.
Okay.
Now he has filed paperwork for custody, requesting custody.
Yeah,
but it has to be done legally because he lives out of state.
Okay, so the other answer to your question is, Brooke, that there's more going on. Probably there's more going on with your granddaughter's mother than just alcoholism. She probably also has other things going on of mental unhealthiness of some sort that we couldn't possibly try to figure out here. But what's important are two things is to understand that she's not a healthy person. Alcohol is probably a symptom of the deeper things that are going on inside of her, and alcohol is being used by her to try to drive away the painful feelings that are deep down inside of her, number one. So anytime you can show her compassion for pain, and I'm sorry you hurt inside, is going to be an important piece. You say, what do I do? If you can show compassion, you don't have to love her to show compassion, but agape love is an action, it's not a feeling. So to show her that compassion, number two, to reinforce the requests of and have boundaries for her, and to request that she respect the certain rules or things in your home, and to have boundaries with her are very important, but they can be warm boundaries. You know, that I want you to be with your daughter, but I also need for you to please respect the following things. And so compassion, boundaries, and then a lot of patience, because she's going to fall short on you all the time. Dave, Larry, you know, people like this just don't socialize well.
No, there's other issues, as you said, that... make it very unpredictable mm-hmm. what goes on. You're either too close to her or too far from her, and she's mm-hmm. always moving the borders of the boundaries between you. I think you got to just make it till December when you get the final ruling, and make it a matter of prayer to get a lot of people praying with you, so that this little girl gets a chance at life and doesn't get consumed by her mother's problems.
That's what's important to me.
Yeah.
Brooke,
thank you very much for your time.
Brooke, let me ask you one more question. I'm just a little curious. You said your son's out of state. Did he move after the baby was born, or did he just come for a visit and leave, or what happened? How did? I mean, if the mother's here and mm-hmm. he's there, where was the connection?
No, financial problems and finding work sent him out on the road, and that he ended up getting stuck at where he was at with no way, you know, back home. I mean, I'm financially not, you know, not real stable, so I had no way to help him get back.
Sure.
They were already separated by then, though. Like, before he left to go out of town to go to work, they were already separated.
You know, something that needs to also happen here is that, you know, you're batting cleanup here. You know, you're trying to manage a lot of irresponsibility. And we want to tell you thank you for that little girl's life. Thank you. She can't say that right this moment, but at two, she's got to be very cute. But the other thing I wanted to say is what has to happen here, too, and your son can be involved in this. I hope he's at that December court hearing. But the courts can order a psychological evaluation to determine the overall health of a parent. And they can actually, with a psychological evaluation, determine if she should have any time with that child or what the parameters of her visitation should be. And so that's something you should really talk to your lawyer about or whoever's representing you. I do everything I can to get legal representation and require that the courts ask that the courts require her to have a psychiatric evaluation so that you can really determine whether this child should be with her at all.
She's supposed to be going to she's actually already gone and seen somebody for an evaluation. They said she didn't have any problems, but it's one of those kind of, you know, like you said, a court-requested thing. And it's a different kind of system down here, and it just seems like even to a lot of people, like, they don't really get involved.
Well,
like,
that's
okay,
tragic.
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead and go on about their way. So,
well, you know what? You're speaking to an interesting point.
It's pretty scary for me.
Yeah, Brooke, it's very scary because sometimes people that are very unhealthy, like the mother of your granddaughter, they can shine for a moment in somebody's eyes and convince them that they're just fine. And that's the most dangerous kind of a person, the person that can fool the people around them, especially the professionals that have to vouch for them.
Yeah. Well, Brooke, thank you. I don't know if there's a book that comes to your guys' mind that we could send to Brooke. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you talk to the call screener, and they'll figure out a book.
That's a good idea.
Okay. I wanted to say, when you call us with a gift of any amount this month, as a way of saying thank you, there is a new book out that's in a series of books that Steve is involved with. It's called the Arterburn Wellness Series. And this is a book about understanding and loving a person with depression. And Steve wrote this with Dr. Brenda Hunter. And unfortunately, I just learned from Steve this weekend that Brenda passed away. She had pneumonia and did not come out of the hospital, evidently. So we're very sad about that. When Steve's back, he'll talk about that in some more detail. But the book is helpful, and it's not for you if you have depression. It's for you who are living and loving somebody who has depression. And I know there's a lot of that right now. So if you'll make a gift to New Life, any amount, we'll send you that book. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. If you're holding, please keep holding, because we'll get to your calls this hour or in the next program to follow.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're here in our final segment, and we're going to go and talk with Julie in Fort Worth. Julie listens on KWRD in Dallas area. Okay, hi, Julie. How are you?
Well, I could be better, which is why I called you guys.
Okay.
That's honest.
Tell us how we can help.
Yeah. I've been married for 26 years, and 2 months ago, my husband told me that he wanted a divorce, and 3 weeks ago, he moved out of our home. He spends 2 to 3 weeks a month out of town on business. He's only required to be gone a day or two, but he's gone 2 or 3 weeks, and he's involved with a woman out of state, and he's been involved with several women here in town also. I don't really know how many. I know of a few. All this just came out in the last 2 months. I did not know about this. My question is, we have three children at home, and when he's here, he wants to spend time with them because he does love them. But because he is choosing a lifestyle very contrary to how we jointly raised them for the first 26 years of our marriage, I'm really wanting to limit, to have a request of him to not spend so much time with them. And since we're still married and not divorced, it's not like there's a court order saying that he can or can't. And what is your opinion?
Well, Julie, I don't think you need a court order. Why can't you just say to him, I don't want you around?
I'm just saying the court's not involved yet, and he would likely respect my wishes. I just don't know, is that something I should say to him right now, while we're still married and you're living in sin? I would rather you not be spending time with our kids.
How old are your children?
17, 14, and 13.
What do they feel about it?
Well, they don't know the things I just told you.
Why not? Why not? Why do they not know that?
Well, the only things that they have been told are the same things my husband started with telling me, is that he's leaving me because we're incompatible.
Well, all couples are incompatible.
That's all they know. They don't know about all these women.
Well, I think they need to know the truth, and then they can determine. They don't. You don't have to go into detail, but they need to know the truth, because that's, they're going to find out someday, and they're going to say, "Why did you lie to me?"
Mm-hmm.
And let them decide. They're old enough. If you were in California, they're old enough that the judge would take him into his chambers and say, "Who do you want to be with?" And they would have a big voice in it. It wouldn't be definitive, but they would have a strong voice in the outcome. And your kids are old enough to know the truth.
Well, that is interesting that you say that.
The way you tell them this truth, because I agree with Dave, is not the way you told us. You would simply say, your daddy wants to divorce me. He has somebody else he wants to have a relationship with. And so he's leaving our family. And you could state it as simply as that. You don't have to say there's multiple partners and multiple affairs, and he's gone more than he needs to be gone, all that stuff. Just this is what's going on. And they're going to be hurt. They're going to cry. They're going to be mad at him. But, you know, my wife was in this very similar situation.
With her parents.
Not with her father. And so she had to decide, as a 17-year-old, she had to decide, How much time do I want to spend with my dad? How do I see my father? And so do I live in Wishville or Realityville? Where do I live as, and where do I teach my children to live?
So does she tell the kids with dad, I'm assuming, or is it just she just tells the kid?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They need to know the truth. I don't know how cooperative the husband is going to be here in terms of wanting to disclose this truth about himself.
Well, he's not going to be very cooperative because he's living a lie and he wants to live a lie. But
and he does not even want to marry the woman that he's seeing out of state.
Doesn't matter. But the issue is he has a girlfriend.
He has a girlfriend.
And he wants her and not me. So what Kay then did is she had a relationship that throughout from 17 on, she had her own independent relationship, and she had to choose how much am I going to be involved with my dad. And between 13, 14, 17, those three kids' ages, and the year 20, their birthday on their 25th birthday, adolescence is now referred to as lasting through about 25. They're going to be finding themselves and having to figure out who they are as adults, who they want to be, what they will choose. And each one of those kids could potentially choose very different paths with your husband. Some could choose to want to go live with him. Some could choose to agree with you. Some could choose.
He doesn't want them to live with him.
My point is they could choose to want to be close to their dad. And
true.
And they could choose that. Because they won't see the world as you see it. They haven't. But all I can say is you need to be open to any possibility that those kids may choose and not alienate them and allow them to have a choice who they want to pick. And they're going to have to grow. You can't be the policeman and the gatekeeper for who gets to see dad. I wouldn't get in that position at all. You're going to just set up a triangulation that's going to get nasty.
Okay,
Julie.
That's my opinion. And others may differ.
Okay.
Well, but I think it's well-founded because I've seen it not work the other way because you're trying to protect your husband, and that's the worst thing you can do.
And I'd like to set clear boundaries, but ones that are...
But they've got to understand why you're setting those clear boundaries. Your kids have a right to understand the basic truth.
So how about we send you the book, Boundaries, to help you in when you're doing... and figuring all that out. That might be a help to you. So I want to thank you for the call, Julie.
Julie, isn't that so hard for Julie to be in that position?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And, I get really frustrated when people say we're incompatible. And you go before God, you make a vow, for better or for worse.
Everybody's incompatible. One's a man, one's a woman. Yeah. Right there is the basis of incompatibility.
Larry, you go to every man. You're right, Dave. Everybody goes. You go to every man's battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're running out of time here, but you see people where their marriages are on the rocks all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
At every man's battle. This guy has a sexual addiction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see when people decide and make a decision to turn around?
Well, God supports it.
He does.
And people their lives can change.
Absolutely.
And that's a good segue. I just wanted to remind folks, we are doing Every Man's Battle this weekend coming up in Pittsburgh. So it starts Friday. You'll be out of there by noon Sunday. It is not too late. And there are a lot of guys that need it. I know it. It's probably been 7 or 8 years since we've done one of these in Pittsburgh. So if you live in that northeast area, give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE, and we can help you. Well,
can Mark hang on the line? And
yep, absolutely.
Don't go away because
don't
go
away, Mark.
Program.
Yep, and we will. We'll get to that right at the beginning of the next program, and keep calling for 2 more hours. We are going to be here. 800-6229-3000. But if you need help, that's what we're here for at New Life. When you're hurting, if you'd like to be one of the callers, but you really don't want to go on the air, call us at 800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433. We have resources. We can help you with a book, a CD, a counselor, a tip sheet, somebody to talk to, somebody to pray for you. Give us a call, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.